Beautiful song. Thank you so much, Andrea. Tell Glenda there was no offering slip in the bucket. Joshua chapter 24. Joshua 24. And again, thank you. Thank you so much for being here this morning. And to all of you that are watching, and we'll watch this again, be very blunt about a few things. I say that not apologetically. I say that on purpose because I don't want to be misunderstood. But I really do want to help us. Joshua chapter 24. And we'll read just the one verse and we'll be right back into it. Excuse me. Verse 15, if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day who you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood. And he divides history there into the pre-diluvian, antediluvian, that's the big words, pre-flood, post-flood. Those who died because of their sins, or those who were vanquished, the gods of the Amorites that didn't do any good at all, in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. By the way, and the people answered and said, God forbid we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. They said it quickly, and then they didn't do it. It's just a chapter later, or a book later, and they're in a mess because they didn't do this. So I want to help us there. I want to talk about my house. About my house. Would you pray with us one more time? Father, speak to every heart. Help me to preach your word with power and authority. May I preach to the singles, the single again, those with kids at home, those with grandkids on the way, those who are married, never married. Lord, I pray that we'd all understand that we have a responsibility to you. And I pray that you'd help us to learn from Joshua and his family so that we could imitate and emulate the good things from his life. I pray that you'd help us to see and understand. Spirit of God, use me, I pray right now. I pray if there's any here that don't know you as Lord and Savior, that today will be the day that they trust you, confess their sins, and ask you to be their Lord and Savior. Lord, I believe you want to change hearts and lives today. So help us in these moments. I ask it in Jesus' precious name. And amen. Amen. My house. My house. Some of you, anybody have an anniversary in May, April, or May? By the way, if you got to look around, you're in trouble. How many in June and July? June and July? How about August, September, October, November? How many of you don't know when your anniversary is? January, February, what I leave out? March? December, some of you are like, I don't know when we got married. Anybody here married too long? You don't remember when you got married? You've been married all your life? How many of you, it was the best day of your life? Best day of your life, all right? There's a lot of people raising hands and the spouse is not raising their hands. I don't know what that means. And it was here. I was listening. I like to listen to Tony Evans. Tony Evans preached on television, radio, but it's just a straight arrow. He's out of Texas and just a giant of a guy. He's like 6'4". I don't know if he played football or basketball. He was just a giant guy. But anyway, he's got a great baritone voice. I love listening to somebody. The words just kind of sound like butter, you know, coming out of their mouth. He was talking about how dumb men are. How many of you are automatically interested as soon as that's said here? Now, some of you who didn't raise your hand earlier raised your hand for that. I don't know what that means. And he said, here's how dumb men are. By the way, it could be a long story, couldn't it? He said, here's how dumb men are. He said, it's anniversary time. He said, and the husband says, well, I'm going to do well by my wife. And so he plans and he prepares and he comes home. He says, he shaves his face, he changes his clothes, and he takes her to a nice restaurant. He's got her a nice little gift and a big deal and some flowers. And he is just as happy as he can be. Because he remembered anniversary, and he did a good job on anniversary. How many of you, besides me as a man, you're going, well, that sounds like a good thing. Anybody in here think that's a good thing? A few of you? Some of you are like, I'm never raising my hand in this church no matter what. And so this is what he's done. He said, but the reality is that man's not really hitting on much. He said, he's happy because one day a year he does something nice. He says, but his wife would be glad to give up that one gift and that one meal out and that one little exercise. He ought to be doing something every so often. She'd take something small a couple of days a week or three or four days a week. She wouldn't mind having a nice meal once every so often. He said, but he thinks he's done a good job. He said, that's how dumb we men are, because he remembered the anniversary and I did something really big for my wife. And instead of doing one really big thing, we ought to be doing a whole lot of little small things. He said, then our wives would really appreciate it. Now, I said, man, Tony, you're just killing me. And then he says, but that's his, he said, we're not just that dumb. He said, I tell you how dumb we are as people. He says, here's what we do. We think we've done one big thing for God. God, I did something for you. I came to church once in a while. I came to church over here. I did this. And then we forget God during the week and forget God most of the time. He said, and this is how dumb we are. He said, God's not interested in me doing one big thing for him. He's not concerned about the occasional biggies in our life. He wants commitment. He wants consistent commitment from us. He wants us to be faithful to him. You show up every so often, do something every so often. That's not as important. I got news for you. If I'm in town and I don't come home, I better have a reason. A reason. My phone died. Some of you know this story. We've been here about a year. My phone died. I was out here working late one night. I didn't realize my phone had died. There's a reason there are two phone chargers in my study. Not one, but two. There are two phone chargers in my study. And I didn't realize my phone had died. And I just didn't. I was working. It was about 8 or 9 o'clock. And Andre kept calling me, and I didn't answer. And so my mother actually called me, didn't answer. And so those different people calling, I wasn't answering. I wouldn't answer. There'd been some kind of weirdness, and actually the phones here weren't working that night. It was just a perfect storm kind of thing. And all of a sudden, I noticed that my phone was dead. And so I plugged it in, it got enough charge, and all of a sudden I see I've got multiple missed calls from everybody I've ever met in my life. And I call Andre, I said, hey baby, I saw you called. I hadn't listened to any of the messages, which was bad. And I call and I say, hey baby, what's, and Andre's in the car, you know, she's doing about 100 miles an hour coming to see me if I'm dead or not. You know, people across the country are praying because I've had a coronary here at the church. I don't know what else going on. I really don't. And she is happy to hear my voice, and then she is furious with me because I've not answered the phones. Well, the phone's dead. You know, I didn't realize it was dead and all. You do this, and that's why I have two phone chargers in the office now. At any given time, I'm supposed to do that, and I'm having it here. And she's a man. You know, I'm in trouble if I don't come home. Now, let me help you. We're talking about being faithful in our family. We're talking about being faithful in our relationship, being faithful to God. There are some real small things and some obvious things maybe to others, not to us. There's some things that we can learn. And so that's what I want to do. I want to kind of dissect Joshua's life a little bit. I'm not going to take a whole lot of long time with this, I don't think. And I want to give us some principles here. Again, whether you're single again, whether you're married, not married, whether you kids don't have kids, whether you got grandkids, whatever you find yourself in life. And all of you that are watching this, I want you to catch these, and I'm going to put these principles out here for you. I just want two ideas. I want to learn from Joshua, and I want to see the lessons from Joshua. I want to learn from Joshua. I want to see the lessons from Joshua. I want to see what's important about what's going on here, and how can he say what he says, and how can he live the way they live? Let me help you. First of all, let's learn from Joshua. Joshua made decisions for God privately. Joshua made decisions for God privately. Keep your Bibles open there. We're going to be back and forth in the text there. Joshua made decisions for God privately. Privately. Verse 14. Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and truth. Put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt and serve you the Lord. And if it seem evil to you to serve the Lord, choose this day who you will serve. Go to the bottom of that verse. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He made that decision before he stood in front of the people. If you wait until you're put on the spot, chances are poor that you're going to make the right decision. Most time when we're put on the spot, what we've decided in private is what comes out. What comes out. He said, man, this is what we've decided to do. He had already made the decision, privately. By the way, let me help you. Public demonstrations of religion or Christianity generally are false. We're just doing it. Everybody been around a politician, he finds out that you're a believer, or come to church and he starts speaking Christianese and all. It's disgusting. It's maddening, isn't it? And they're just putting on the dog because they want your vote here. We're talking about in private. This is what he had decided to do. Excuse me. Excuse me. I knew I was going to cough. I tried not to. At least I covered the microphone a little bit. All of you that are watching right now, that was not an earthquake. That was me. And maybe Andre will let me sleep inside tonight. So he decided privately. Your decision will come like this. By the way, nobody can believe for you. Nobody can believe against you in that sense. It's your decision. You got to make this decision. He made the decision privately. Let me follow it up here again. Joshua and his wife, I call her Mrs. Joshua, they decided to live for God. They decide to live for God. When somebody's getting married, they do emotional compatibility, they do financial compatibility. Most of the time, they don't talk about spiritual compatibility.
Somewhere they decided, we will. We will. We will serve the Lord. Can two walk together except they be agreed? The answer is no. Excuse me. If you've got things that are yoked together, if you've got horses or cattle and they don't fit well together, can they plow like they're supposed to? No. Over and over, reference after reference, man, this is something you got to agree on. It's got to agree on. One of the best things you could do is have a little cup of coffee, have a donut somewhere, hold each other's hand and say, you know what? I don't know how we've been doing things, but this is how we're going to do it from now on, and I want you as a part of this. We're going to serve the Lord. We're going to do what's right. We're going to walk together and serve the Lord. Those of you that are single, you start praying, God, give me somebody who is interested in serving Jesus. Give me somebody who's interested in living for Christ, living for Christ. Things that break my heart, 26 years of doing this, coming up on 27, is to see young people who know better, but they marry for money, or they marry for looks, or they marry because they can advance in the world, and they do not marry because the person is compatible with them spiritually. And they get together and they start raising their kids, and the kids, man, are all over the plant because the guy's this way or the lady's this way. When they're not agreed, and the best thing in the world you can do is agree that we're going to live for God. We're going to live for God. So I can learn from Joshua. Joshua made decisions privately. They both decided to live for God. We will serve the Lord. Let me help you. They decided what they wouldn't do. They're not going to serve other gods. Not going to serve other gods. How many of you like a clean house? How many of you would prefer for someone to clean your house? All right, same idea. A lot of people pointing at other people right then, yeah. How many of you think there's only some things you can keep clean in your house, though? A certain thing's not going to come in. By the way, I'm not paying for Hollywood to warp my kids. I'm not paying that bill. There's no right that you can do anything you want to on YouTube and watch anything you want to. There's no right there. Say, I don't want my kids to be mad at me. I'd rather my kids be mad at me and die and go to heaven and live for Jesus than my kids to love me and their soul be rotted out before they're 18. Somebody say amen to that. They decided we weren't going to do it. They weren't going to rip and rear. We weren't going to fuss. We weren't going to cuss. We weren't going to try and be everybody's pals. They're going to be parents. This is what we're going to do. They're going to set the tone in their house. This is how things are going to be. So they decided some things that they were not going to do. Not going to do. They were not going to follow other gods. They were not going to turn back. They were not going to do something. You read those things. He said over and over, these are the things that we are not going to do. We're not going to do. Say, living for God's got some negative. Living for God absolutely has got some negative to it. This is not, we're not going to do this. Not going to do this. I loved it. I loved it. They're not here. I don't want to call her name, but they were just mad as fire that had a tournament game. Had a tournament game on a Sunday, just cuckoo, ca-choo, mad as fire. Signed up for this league because there would be no games on Sunday. Apologized to me. Apologized to Jesus. And all I could do was smile. Not that they had a game on Sunday. Everybody listening, don't miss my point. I'm smiling because you know what? Because that dad had said, there's some things we're not going to do. And we're not going to miss church to chase some ball somewhere. And I want to say, yes, and I want to video him, amen. There are things we're just not going to do, not going to do. By the way, you're going to have to make that choice. We're not going to do this, not going to do this. There's some things we're absolutely positively not going to do. Let me help you here. Let me help you. There's some things I don't need if it's going to cost me too much. Some things I don't need if it's going to cost me too much. We're just not going to do this. We're not going to do it. They decided some things they were not going to do. Joshua made his private decision, then his public stand. We, as for me and my house, he made his private decision, his public stand. It's one thing to make a private decision, then just kind of float along and hope nobody bothers you. He didn't get asked about this. He went and volunteered, and he said, this is where I'm at. This is where I'm at. It's where we are. Now, by the way, he's speaking for his family. I'm going to address that in a moment. I don't think it implies that his family were all believers. He just said, this is the direction of our house. This is the temperature of our house. This is the tone of our house. This is the attitude of our house. This is where we are. This is our public stand. I am here. I'm here. By the way, I think you make a public stand several times a week, by the way, what you do with your time. I think you make a public stand by what you don't do, what you don't support. He made his private decision, his public stand. God help us. God help us. Again, I'm not talking about politics, but when politics involves right and wrong, we take our stand. We take our stand. It's murder to kill babies. Somebody say amen to that. It is wrong to say that anything and everything that you want to say is right is not right. It is wrong to say the certain things that everybody wants to say are marriage. Again, the Bible defines marriage. The Bible defines marriage. Say, well, you think people ought to be allowed to be together? I think you can put chocolate and peanut butter together. That's fine. You can put mint in a chocolate chip cookie. Don't mean I'm going to eat it. I don't think that the state has the right to do that. I think we get our definitions about things from the Bible, and nobody gets to change it. Again, somebody say amen. That's not mean. That's not hateful. That's not ugly. I'm not being mean about that. I'm simply saying, man, this is the private decision. This is the public stand. Public stand. I like what John MacArthur said. He told his boys, he said, I go to your baseball games. You come to my sermons. He got four kids all involved in church work. He's got sets of grandkids. Many of them have trusted Christ and all. He said, that's the deal. He said, I show up for your stuff, you show up for my stuff. God worked in their hearts. He said, this is how we're going to live. You live in my house, what we're going to do. So you can't do that anymore. I think we ought to give it a good shot. Amen. Because what Joshua did, this is what we're going to do. So what we're going to do. He made his private decision, his public stand. Joshua did not divorce his private faith from his public life. David Gibbs Jr., he's traveled all over country. He's preached here. He's preached in Knoxville several times. Preached in Knoxville recently. He's got a sermon. He's got a sermon where it's a courtroom kind of thing. He's a lawyer, defends churches and Christians all over the country, and been before the Supreme Court, but an excellent speaker and preacher. And he's got a sermon, and the whole sermon, he says, if you were on trial for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? Your own trial for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? Joshua calls all the bigwigs and the leaders of the people together, and he says to them, hey, let me remind you a little bit of your history here. Now, I've decided, you decide. I've decided, you decide. He did not divorce his private faith from public life. How many folks keep their mouth shut when children have questions, when teenagers have questions, when they could speak truth in their life, and they just say, well, they got to figure it out for themselves, they got to do these. I get you want them to grow, but at the same time, if they grab a bottle of poison, they grab a bottle of toothpaste, I make sure and knock the poison out of their hand. I don't let them take a good gulp there and call emergency services. Well, they'll never do that again. We are reckless in areas of faith sometimes when we are hyper-vigilant in other areas that don't really matter as much. People worried about this and worried about that. Worried about if the cow was petted twice before it was slaughtered. Worried about if the pig was clean before it was killed. We're just crazy about things, aren't we? Make sure he was bathed. Make sure he had Venetian mud baths, you know, to swim in and all this stuff. You go downtown, go to Market Square, and you see all the excessive things that people do to their food. We're really worried about that, but we're not worried about what people are eating spiritually. Joshua did not divorce his private faith from his public life. Joshua and his wife set the tone and direction for their home. Now, you can write that down two ways. Because you always set the direction for your home. You can set it for good or bad. You always set the direction for your home. You set the direction for your home if you're single, living in an apartment. You set the direction for your home if you're divorced and you're there. Set the direction if you're every other weekend parent, whatever. You set the direction. You help counter the direction. If the direction is bad and somebody else is, if you're split custody, you help do this. But you always set the tone. And they decided what the tone was going to be. What the tone was going to be. My children are growing up very differently than I did. I grew up hardly ever in church until I was about seventh grade. Hardly ever. My kids have not missed 2 months of Sundays for sickness. We didn't bring them as babies. We'd gotten good advice. They stayed out for a couple months, got their immune system built up and all. But they're here. They're here. We don't vote on it. By the way, I've not always pastored. When I was teaching, I wasn't pastoring. This is what we decided we're going to do. They can rebel against, they can do whatever, but this is how we're going to live. We're going to bow our head and pray. We're going to pray with them before they go to bed. We're going to make sure they get their Bible read. These are things we want to do. This is the tone we set. This is the tone we set. Well, why do we do it? Because we got it from Joshua. Joshua decided this is what they're going to do. I can't do anything about it when they get out of there. I can give them advice and all. But while they're at my house, this is what we're going to do. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. This is where we are. It takes some determination. It takes some grit. That's one of the reasons we have our Bible studies with men and women, because we want to encourage them. Our men study right now. Man, we're going through it. And to be men of character, to be men of discipline. Why? Because we got families to represent. We got families to love. We got future families to love and grandkids to love. And we need to do this. And Joshua set the tone in his wife. Direction for the family. This is what we're going to do. This is what we're going to do. You may not all follow, but this is what we're going to do. This is what we want you to do. How many of you think it matters to a child, his parents' expectations for him, step-parents' expectations? They may take a left turn, but they will climb over a mom, a dad, stepmom, stepdad, grandma, and grandpa who loved him and who did everything to help him to know the truth. They set the tone, by the way. And there may be a day, and for many there is a day later on when they come to the end of themselves and they say, you know what, mom's got the truth. Dad's got the truth. Grandpa's got the truth. Let me go back. Let me go back to their church because they got the truth and I want the truth now. Learn from Joshua. You say, okay, preacher. I got to move this before I trip over. Say, okay, preacher. I want to have a home like Joshua. Somebody say amen. I want to have a boldness like Joshua. Ain't he the man? That's what we're going to do. What are you going to do? How can I? Let me offer you a few things. We'll be done. I think I'm giving you a bunch of R's. Just help you remember. Rehearse God's word in your home. Rehearse God's word in your home. If your Bible lands in the back of your car, if it stays in your purse, if you never pull it out, if it's a coffee table decoration, I don't think it's doing a whole lot of good. Rehearse God's word in your home. I think somebody will walk in on you every now and then reading your Bible, listening to your Bible. I think that ought to be a normal thing. Somebody say amen to that. I think your Bible ought to be less of a repository for past programs and bulletins and jazz you picked up in church and more of this is what God's doing to me, doing through me. I've told you, one of my regrets is I've moved digitally almost exclusively the way I study now. And so I've got a couple of Bibles. When I redid my office the other day, I pulled them out, one for Allison, one for Riley. Their Bible will probably be more digital as far as my notes. But I turned that on its head, and so I have a devotional Bible, though. It's just paper. I've got two of them, and I'm working, marking both of them up. I want something for my kids to have. This is what Dad was thinking. He was reading the Bible. And they may not want it, but I want them to have it. Because I want the Bible to be more than a book we talk about and something we bring to church. I want this was important in our lives. It'll be important in your life. Rehearse God's word. They get in trouble, give them a Bible verse. They do something good, give them a Bible verse. Pick a Bible verse to talk about every day. We talk about everything in the world. Rehearse God's word. Rehearse God's word. One of the things we've got in children's church, and they're working hard. They're doing a verse a month. They want them to have that. One of the reasons we have Sunday school is, man, to teach them God's word. You ought to do that there. Train up a child in the way she is go, and way he's old, and way she go. And when he's old, he will not depart from it. It's a pun there. And when he's old, it won't depart from him. He may run away from it, but he cannot get away from the training that you gave them. Rehearse God's word in your home. Secondly, retell the stories of God's working in your life. I remember the day that your mama got baptized. Your kids ought to be sick of that story, Joseph. Joji, I remember the day that I came to church on a Wednesday night and those ladies loved on me and I went home, and if I'd have known that the preacher was going to follow me and move in beside of me, I would never come to church here. Kids ought to be sick of that story. I'll be sick of that story. Your daughter ought to get sick of the story when she's older. She's right outside the nursery, down the hall. And the preacher asked me if I was ready to trust Christ as my Lord and Savior. Retell those stories. Our kids know it backwards and forwards. We've been married 6 months. Andre went to a free clinic. They misread a test, misdid a test.
For about 5 days, we were certain Andrea had ovarian cancer. We might even see our first anniversary. That's a long 5 days. That's a pretty good day when we came back and said, "It's just a goof. I'm fine." I was a happy camper, by the way, 22 years ago. I was a happy camper. But I can tell you right now, I remember going to bed thinking, I don't know if I got it in me to be a widower. Tell the stories of God's working in your life. One of the reasons we go to the wilds, it's not because we have any problem with any camps around here, camps in Tennessee. We go to the wilds because that's a special place for me, because I remember kneeling over there by the fireplace, man, God getting a hold of my heart. I remember Andre and I, we were a young married couple, and God just really doing some things in our life, and we kneeling together, tears running down our faces. Tell the story of God working in your life. Tell him and tell him. That's what he does. He spends 13 verses rehearsing what God did to them. By the way, he pulled it out just like that. You know why? Because he'd been doing it at the house. He knew his spiritual history. Ruthlessly guard against sin. Ruthlessly guard against sin. He tells them to do what? He says, put away the gods, verse 14. Put away the gods which your father served. Now, let me help you. If granddad and dad did something, and it's part of the heritage to do that and to talk that way and do this and do that, then you got to make a break not only with culture, but you got to make a break sometimes with family. We're just not doing this anymore. We're not living this way. We're not talking this way. We're not doing things this way. We're not going to rip and rear, and things are be different. You may be looked at as cuckoo and crazy, but it's okay, because you're going to guard against sin. I'm astounded. People have no clue what their kids are doing online. The same people who get all up in arms about all the terrorists online and all the this and that online, but they just let their kids just jack right in and there's nothing going on. Guard against sin. Guard against sin. We do here. We got filters here. Some of you try and, you know, you run up on them every now and then. We got filters in the building. We got filters in the house. We got filters on it. We do those things. We don't watch TV long. We guard against sin. You guard that way. God, keep me clean. Keep me and my family clean. Radically commit to Christ, His word and work. Don't vote if you're coming to church. It's his house. It's his place. Somebody say amen to that. Don't vote if you're going to do what's right. Don't ask what everybody's thinking, what everybody's feeling. And this is what we're going to do. By the way, if you'll be just faithful to God, that looks pretty radical in 2018. That looks pretty radical. Radically commit to Christ and His Word. He does this publicly. He said, this is what we're going to do. And then He challenges everybody else to do it. I joke. I see a couple of my college professors every so often. One of them lives in the state, not too far from here. I told him. I saw him not the last time before. I said, Brother Wire, I said, if you'd have told me I'd spend majority of my ministry chasing sheep, I'd have laughed at you. I said, why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you tell me that, you know, people say they love Jesus, you know, but you can't drag them to church. People love Jesus, but they don't do what's right. I said, why didn't you tell me? He said, well, I didn't want to discourage you. I said, well, that's a good answer. He said, people lack a commitment to Christ and His work. Yep. Let me help you. I said it on purpose that way. I don't do for Jesus not because I don't like to work. I don't do for Jesus because I've started neglecting His word. And I started neglecting His word because I started neglecting Him. Radically commit. Let me help you with something. If you know people who are weak toward Christ and tepid toward Him and their love has waned, you need to pray for them. Why? Because you're setting the tone and direction. If you have influence in their life, oh God, would you stir their heart? Oh God, would you do that? Here's what we do. We roll our eyes and we roll through messages like these, and we don't understand that eternal things are at stake in that matter. And He makes a declaration not to be the big shot, because He's inviting criticism. He said, this is what we're going to do.
because of Jesus. By the way, that's Joshua. It's going to be Jesus in the New Testament, the Old Testament word. Joshua, the Lord is my Savior. Jesus, the Lord, I am your Savior. Commit to Christ. Commit to His Word. You have a quiet time with the Lord every day? You listen to His Word? You bow your head and take some time to pray? And His work. Find something to do. I think you ought to repeat the act of commitment regularly. See, what do you mean? Skip all the way down. You're in Joshua 24. You're still there. Say amen. Go down to verse 27. 26. And Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God, took a great stone, set it there under oak, and this was by the sanctuary of the Lord. He made a covenant. And not in this Bible, my other Bible is sitting on the desk, sitting right beside my monitor. And my other Bible, I have it's full of commitments and days and dates that I made to God. I made these as a reminder, as a memorial stone. There ought to be something where you put it in your diary or put it in a journal, whether you get it calligraphied, whether you get it on a whiteboard, I don't care where you do it. But he had some things that are memorial about decisions for God. Verse 27, Joshua said to the people, "Behold, this stone shall be a witness for us. For it has heard all the words of the Lord which he spake before us. It shall therefore be a witness to you, lest you deny your God." So Joshua let the people depart, every man to his inheritance. If you skip down to the Judges, it is not a generation away. And they're in a mess. They're in a mess. We'll do it, Joshua. We'll do it, Joshua. We got the stone. We got the written word. We got all this stuff. We'll do it. We're good. We're good. You need to repeat the act of commitment regularly. I'm committed. That's why we have special services. That's why we invite special speakers. Why we have a special emphasis. Well, we talk about marriage regularly. Talk about family regularly. Talk about reading your Bible. Because we need to recommit every so often. See, Tony Evans is right. If you put in your marriage one time a year, one nice thing, your marriage is going to struggle. But if you every so often are adding to it, all of a sudden you'll start to see it flourishing. Repeat the act of commitment regularly. What does it take? What does it take to serve the Lord? I think Luke chapter 9 helps us. Luke chapter 9, verse 23, says, "And he said to them, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow me." Jesus has got it on point there. Take up your cross daily and follow me. I gave you these four things. I'm done. Look right at me. There's a decision. If any man come after me, there's denial. Take up his cross. Dedication. Follow me. Determination. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to do it daily. So I want to follow Jesus. I want to have the right kind of home. I want to be the right kind of person for when I get married. I want to put my marriage back together. I want to put my home back together. I want my kids and my grandkids to love Jesus. I want to be who I ought to be. I want to serve God. I want my family, the direction to be changed. Whatever it is, it's a decision. You're going to have to say no to some things. It's going to take some dedication. Anybody can float, but to swim against the stream, swim against the current, take some effort. And you're going to have to be determined. Some of you, the simplest thing you can do is just grab hands with your spouse this morning, girlfriend, your boyfriend, and say, it's time for a we. It's time for a we. Some of you want to pray for kids and grandkids. With everything I've got left, I want all of them to know Jesus and all of them to love Him passionately and all of them to live right. Oh, I'm praying to that end for them this morning. Some of you like us, we're praying for future spouses. They'd be the right kind of people. Some of you like us, going, we're at the point where a lot of marriages just disintegrate. And the devil sure would love to knock off a preacher and his wife and make them a scandal. So I'll just cruise along and it'll all happen automatically. It never had in the scripture and it hasn't in my experience. You'll do it on purpose. It's a decision. There's some denial if you're going to follow Jesus. There's determination. Excuse me. There's dedication. There's determination. Luke chapter 9, verse 23. My house. My house. See, how can I start? You can get away from the biggies. And you can start. This is what I'm going to do today. This is my plan today. I'm going to learn from Joshua, and I'm going to take my lessons from him and ask God to help me. Pray with me right now. Father, we love you. I'm so thankful for what you're teaching me. Thank you for speaking to our hearts. Lord Jesus, would you help us? Would you give us a real spirit of honesty right now as folks do business with you?